the account down in Jordan. We have a couple of presentations this evening. It's all that long, but kind of an update and where we're at with the rail trail. Also, we've been asked by the League of Women Voters when we do speak, if at least for the first time we can just identify ourselves. So since I've already opened the meeting and have failed to do any of the above that I was supposed to have done, TJ Briggs, legislator, chairperson. So I apologize for that. We have the minutes going around, if everyone would sign them, and then entertain a motion then to approve the minutes.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, second. Jim, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, very good, thank you. Resolutions, we'll go number two. Resolution 121 confirming the appointment of Lisa Berger as Director of the Department of Employment and Training. Entertain a motion.
Mary
Beth, second.
Second.
Jim, discussion? Okay. No discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, very good. Thank you. Resolution 3, Resolution 140 approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the county, VHB Engineering Surveying and Landscape Architect PC Planning Department. And that is part of our packet. And it's for the development of Broadway Kingston Corridor design plan. Plan will include land use planning, streetscapes, and traffic engineering. Entertain a motion to move it.
Move.
Second.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Heard the name, Chris. Okay, apologize. Say that again, please.
Someone told me that I'm not familiar with what that's
I don't know. Who's from Kingston? Can you have help? Chris.
I do that.
Stealth planning.
I wasn't here to talk about this. This is Dennis's project, but I believe what this is that the Ulster County Transportation Council has a unified planning work program, and I think this is a study that they're doing under that. It's federal money that's passed through our department. And I think it's part of the larger Kingston Green Line proposal, which is to connect a lot of the streets that are kind of incomplete if you're a pedestrian and you're trying to get from one road to another, as well as bicycle.
It's 95% federal, 5% county.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Right. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, Resolution 141 urging the New York State Legislature to pass legislation amending the Jordan Municipal Law and Vehicle Traffic Law to authorize Ulster County to regulate the registration of taxi cabs, limousines, and livery vehicles. Annotation.
So moved.
To move, Jim. Second. Herb, discussion. Any of you gentlemen might somebody just want to discuss it at all?
There's a need for information, and we
problem.
I do have a couple questions.
Okay. All right. So,
well, setting up a TLC, I mean, this is setting up a new department. What's the process? Is it enough additional hires? Or, I understand why they need it, but what is the requirement then on the county side? Are we putting together a department for this? What's the oversight going to be? I understand it so that there's reciprocity in being able to drive in and out of the city, but what does it entail at the county level?
That's a good question. I actually share that concern. Administration is one of the issues we're going to have to address if it does get moved through and the laws are changed. We'll develop a mechanism to deal with that, whether it's just participants in the industry, from the industry, sort of a self-governance body, maybe something with one of the local law enforcement through sheriff's office or something like that. But that will definitely have to be explored.
Well, in the city, they have a separate And I understand for Las Vegas and Magilla than here.
Right.
My question is, so what does it mean here? And we're obviously we're trying to put them through to see if we can even get the state to allow us to set it up. But
right.
Then what's the impact? I guess that's the cart before the horse.
We're probably going to have to, I would say, use one of the other agencies as a model, Westchester County, not certainly not the TLC, because it's not there, as you said. The state's probably going to want to see some sort of mechanism to make sure that we're sort of policing ourselves with regard to standards, operations, safety, that sort of thing. Because that's what those...
Would you go to a medallion system or something like that to... substantiate the commission?
Every one of the agencies that I know has driver licensing criteria, vehicle licensing criteria, and then stickers are provided. In the cases of Nassau, Westchester, and New York City, they have separate identifiable license plates. So that would be something that would have to
be. That also generate cash that would operate the commission?
I would say so, yeah. I don't know what kind of... I mean, certainly down there they have enforcement and, fine structure,
mm-hmm.
which is providing, as far as I can tell, a decent source of revenue.
Any questions?
Well, it's just, right now, since the financial impact is none, but that could change.
Right. Yeah, I think what this is asking is, that we notify the state to essentially say, put us in the ballgame.
Right.
As it stands now, you can't drive to New York City and pick someone up.
So we can't pick someone down. We can drive down and drop someone off. But they're asking us to be picking them up within 24 hours. That's not even within reason, because a lot of our clients have, ground zones or homes or they're going out on a train, or they're going out to the airport. They're trying to even keep us from the Air Force, too, for the people that we're servicing here in Ulster County, which is quite a handful that rely on us every day to get them to the airport and pick them back up, whether it be legislation or lawyers or doctors or whatever it may be. These are the people that we deal with every day.
Chris Allen, Ulster County, Legislative District 2. I was curious, is this something that's new?
This is something that we've never had to deal with. This is just something that they have decided to push up on us in the past few months.
So the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
It was. Actually, it started before that, yeah.
Yeah, it started, some of our friends have been, had their cars sold away. I mean, a police officer that has his own limousine service in Dutchess County had his car impounded, towed, and took him away, and sent him to the train station to go home, and sent his people to the train.
What was the law enforcement agency that did that?
That was the New York City Police Department.
It was a tech in the
New York City. Yeah, but they worked in conjunction with them.
They're peace officers, they have...
Well, it always sounds to me like they're trying to enforce monopoly.
They are trying to... It's basically to the point of where... They are trying to create a monopoly that the TLC, but the TLC is in our backyard every day. If you go on 28th, that's my place, I can count 25, 30 plates a day that are up here from TLC, bringing people in and taking them out.
Okay.
And we feel that we're kind of being mobilized and we're being blackballed and pushed out.
It's not an equitable quid pro quo with the procedures of the million dollar money.
Yeah, I think it's in good faith that these initiatives have been taken by these municipalities, by these jurisdictions, because they want to provide for the safe transportation of their populations. The issue is that their sort of subject matter jurisdiction review of our procedures is not really appropriate when it is dealing with our population, but our population up here, our clients, customers. So when we try to operate, we can legally operate there. We can legally drop off there. We can legally pick up within 24 hours, but all of a sudden now they're being sort of selective in their application of their rules.
They're trying to have us log on to one of their companies down there and basically us to pay their TNLC people that have limousine-based conditions down there for us to be able to go back and pick up our clients.
So this is more so you'll have representation, a local representation.
Right.
And this would allow you then to work with their TLC. Just like they have folks coming here,
right.
You'll be able to go there with
well,
that.
Well, basically, it would put them in a position that they would have to deal with our TLC or whatever we...
But you're all independent operators?
Yeah.
You're all independent operators?
Yes.
As a former New York City taxicab driver in Manhattan on the night shift before going to school, I do have to say that I understand where you're coming from and I understand all of it, but I would just urge a little bit of caution that you may solve a problem, but once you get a commission, if you get one created here, it kind of builds on itself and may end up with its own set of rules that would be unfavorable to what you're trying to accomplish. And so I would make the suggestion that if you're asking for the creation of a limousine commission here for the purposes that you're presenting here tonight, which certainly makes sense, that you may want to have that word in such a way that it would restrict the authority to go far beyond that and start regulating your rates and all kinds of other aspects of your business
right.
as well.
Right.
Thank you. And in that vein, the way this resolution is worded, I think, at the very least, it's just urging the state legislature to allow us to be able to kind of create this deal, basically would allow us when that next phase happens, that is probably when we're going to have to be very, very circumspect as to how we want to be able to create this thing.
And how the state provides limitations.
Oh, we can limit, I like to limit ourselves as opposed to having the state limit us. Whenever the state gets involved, it's never really a generally speaking start.
It will change.
Anything else? Yeah, everything changed. Okay, then on the motion there, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 142, amending the 2004, thank you, gentlemen, and then feel free anytime here or, we'll pass it along. That would be unanimous to the full body.
So, great.
Thank you very
much. Thank you very
much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Resolution 142 amending the 2004 Sonoma County budget appropriating unexpected grant funds for New York State Department of State, Department of Tourism.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? And 143, authorizing the chairman of the Oscar legislature to execute an agreement to receive grant funding from New York State Environmental Facilities Corporation for green infrastructure elements utilized in the STRIVE project, SUNY Ulster Satellite Campus Department of Planning.
I'll move it.
There you go. Second.
Second.
Chris, discussion?
Yes.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you. Let me go to Steve.
Under new business.
Yeah, okay. But I have a speaker. I was going to.
You want to do this next? I'll raise the speaker.
Yeah, that's fine. Cool. Okay. Because that Herb has something else. All
right.
Steve? I put him under hold. I'm sorry.
I'm old business.
No, but you're new. You're new.
I
know.
I have some color copies and I have some black and white copies.
I don't know.
go through this with you, I'd like to tell you what's going on here. And you'll find no mention of the Catskill Mountain Railroad. You'll find no mention of the Catskill Mountain Rail Trail. You will find the happy story here. But I didn't touch those issues, that third rail of rail trail.
Never touched the third rail. Never touched the third rail. Never touched the third rail.
Exactly. The county is in court. I gave a deposition in support of the county's case at some point. And so our committee received their plan and discussed it and acted on it as individuals. We never passed a resolution, made a recommendation, or anything that raised rough winds to the level that I thought it was required by our reserving requirements. The other caveat is my committee has not voted on this as yet. This is my report. So with that in mind, I'd like to go through it with you if I will. We had some big successes in trails this year, not because of our committee, but because our committee helped us. These things might have been done, but they weren't faster because we helped and we provided a forum for people to communicate and get together. So this is our fifth year of operation, and the biggest success would be the Wallfield Valley Rail Trail, essentially doubling in size. The amount of work that went into there without charts and all kinds of technical data so I couldn't adequately represent it. But let's say it's a lot of hours. The Wallfield Valley Land Trust worked with Wallfield Valley Rail Trail and passed the stewardship off to the Rail Trail Association so they could move on to finishing job and work, protecting those lines and people from access to those lines, and making the trail safe and natural. On the D&H O&W corridor, Marbletown O&W Rail Trail completed a significant bridge over the Rest House Road in High Falls. Again, the photo is there because it's to show you the historic rolling abutments we are preserving with these kinds of things. These mean a lot to history of us. We have another rolling abutment, another mile away. It's actually the border between Rochester and Marbletown. And the material's in place to actually do that. We just have to find the machinery time and run it to get that done. In Allendale, we met with the developer of the Netley about the L&W Rail Trail, and they're in the process of issuing an irrevocable agreement to allow the rail trail through their property and to the Sullivan County line. Additionally, throwing in access to the famous falls on that property, it will be a big, big draw. In Kingston, as many of you know, the Green Line project was developed and funding for, I believe, $4 million in grants has been awarded by the end of the year. This essential project links all of the other rail trails coming into the city and provides safe access for accessing the other rail trails as well as moving around the city. But that's gotten a lot of attention. And then the Bluestone Wild Forest, also known as Jockey Hill, is important to us mountain bikers. That's the jewel of mountain biking in Ulster County. That really has some of the best technical riding you can do. It's right off the thruway, and it draws people from out of state. I haven't seen anybody from out of country yet, but this is a gem that's been sitting there kind of in the rod. It's not signed, so if you go up there without somebody who doesn't know their way around, it could be a recipe problem. So to see the DEC and the Land Conservancy and bike clubs get involved in providing a complete solution here is a big win. So that, in a nutshell, and on the planning side, things, is our report for the year.
What can study work?
Yes.
What can, how can we help you?
Well, we have areas that that's always
okay.
I think the next project is to unify the signing program in the county. Sign that says this is a county trail, and then within it says this is a local trail, and this is part of the local trail system that it's part of. So those are things we might need help with.
Common look and feel. I mean, you know, regardless of where you are in the trail, you shouldn't know. You shouldn't have to think like, oh, well, now I'm in this town versus that town, because you have a uniform look.
Right. One of the things I've been working on, and I'm trying hard to sell, is that when a person puts their phone on their trail, they see a symbol at the start that they see throughout the journey and all the way to the end. And so I'm thinking of using mile markers that are consistent with the historical railroad mile markers of that corridor.
So that way,
that appeals to the history buffs, and the continuity of experiences is pretty much guaranteed. So that's something I've been working on personally.
Mm-hmm. Some of this is within Catskill, the Catskill Corridor System, is that correct?
The Bluestone project, that is within the Catskill Forest Project.
You may have to get your signage approved by the state of New York,
right,
to be consistent with theirs.
Okay. For that portion, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And you may want to
have rail corridors at this time that do that as yet. Mm-hmm. But thank you for the question.
I want to pause. I want to give the impression that we're not willing to basically, financially support the rail, though. Clearly we are. But we do, and I think that actually, this sort of, I can sort of get the question of, I guess, the follow-up on what Chairman Briggs has brought up. You know, what is sort of that, like, realistic, discrete funding opportunities that we can participate in, or what are the things that, for example, that we can get any of our agencies that are not already involved with assisting you guys, so whether it's DPW or whether it's, the Soil and Water or any of those groups, so they already help you.
We have good help from the planning department, I have to say. What we asked for, they donate our help.
Well, can you make for the planning department? I
haven't gotten all of the things out of the planning department.
There you go. All right. There you go.
And that might be a visioning of what do we call this? What do we call this segment of the trail system? So that's something that, as an individual, I can't feel at all. So much.
Sure.
If you see that very question of the planning department, because we're very distinct from this committee.
Yeah.
This is not.
We're an advisory committee, and we do get help from the planning department. Our role is to advise the legislature on what we think of, or what we think they can provide us to grow and complete trail system. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We have already two things. We may, in fact, have some projects that come up in the next year or two that would need matching funds or some portion, and that would be a very important investment for the legislature to make on the county's behalf. These projects return more than you put into them on lots of different metrics. And I passed out early on because I wasn't sure I'd still be here, the Des Moines study, which talks about the number of dollars that we spend in the community based on projections for the altering Delaware rail trail, and new jobs that routinely come with those, which is, as I mentioned, the health benefits and the quality of life benefits that also come with them. So I think the legislature may be asked, approached about that. We're trying to keep that those requests to a minimum, but they do come up where we can get large amounts of money from the federal government or the state with a small county match. We would need that. And the other thing is that depending upon what happens with the legal issues with the railroad and the ability to start moving forward, there will probably be a role for the legislature in supporting the Ulster and Delaware rail trail. And so we, I would think, anticipate going to the legislature at some point when we get ready to change how things work in that corridor, which could be soon or could be many years down the path, a couple of years down the path. But at some point, I think there will be some new situation with the group that's currently the lease holder. May 2016 is the current lease end date, and at that point, we'll go forward. The county will need to act on a new contract to win that.
Anybody else? I'll just remind you that budget process starts with your August September, so if you have something in mind, make sure you get it over to the executive's office.
How are you teaming up with local municipalities and outreach to them for support or financing? You know, I mean, obviously, it's going to have to be an integrated process because it's going through all the municipalities. So what's your role? What is the difference from the advisory committee who are representing all the trails? What are their roles in the
municipality? Well, all of these projects were entirely funded without the county having a match, I believe.
Right.
I think all of these. So that's been the outreach. That's one of the major functions of this committee.
Mm-hmm.
Just people can bring in their stories of what they're doing and figure out how to do it.
Yeah, I'll mention the filmmakers of the respective segments to do their own outreach, and that's more or less successful. But it is working out that way. I mean, it's almost a tale of two trails in that the Wallfield Valley was able to move to the high value or high dollar solution and buy the bridge, get it all done all at once, whereas the L&W is just, you know, working slowly through the obstacles and trying to gain traction without making a major expenditure of a lot of dollars.
So I'm Chris White with the planning department. I would just highlight that we have four major rail trail corridors in the county. The Hudson Valley Rail Trail that runs from the walkway westward towards New Paltz. We have the Walkville Valley Rail Trail that runs from Gardner up to the border of Kingston. We have the D&H Canal Heritage Trail, ONW Rail Trail, also called the Hurley Rail Trail, Marbletown Rail Trail, Rochester Rail Trail. That ultimately could run about 40 miles from the Sullivan County border below Allenville all the way up to Kingston. And then we have the proposed rail trail, which would be the Ulster County Rail Trail project, running at least 18 miles from Kingston to Boyceville. The county is going to be coming back to the legislature probably later this year with a couple projects that we would like approval for. I know one of them that we're trying to get going that stalled some years ago is connecting the Hurley Rail Trail into Kingston. So we've applied for additional federal money to get that queued up again. We think that's been successful. It's on the state transportation improvement program, so we'll be coming back to modify a capital project the legislature created some years ago. So there will be specific asks that we bring to you over the course of the next year, not all of which require funding. That one in particular is the local match is provided by state funding.
Cool. All right. Good.
Yeah.
Thanks. Jim, you next?
From Albany District 4 legislator. One thing you might want to consider is to reach out to the IDA.
Okay.
They often give the professor grant money for many, many local projects.
Well, Steve, and your crew, thank you very much. Feel free to, you know, if you want to mid to late summer, come back, let us know how you're doing, how the trails are going.
Okay.
And do that. But we appreciate your work. And, thank you.
Thanks for the opportunity.
It's a wonderful thing for the county. So.
Really cool. Appreciate it.
And we're bringing this committee a resolution to reappoint.
I believe I've already provided the names for the resolution to reappoint.
Okay.
So do I need to provide anything further on that?
No, I didn't receive it. Doesn't ring a bell. Okay. 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 Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay. Okay.
The federal government is successfully trying to throw a monkey wrench into something that's been a win-win situation for a number of years. Breweries produce beer, and in that process, one of their waste products is wet grain. In the state of New York, wet grain is considered a low-level hazardous waste, much like stumps are. And they have to be processed through a DEC-regulated facility unless there is a beneficial use. With stumps, they grind them up, make them into pellets, beneficial use, you're okay there. With brewery grains, it is a source of feed supply for farmers in our area. And like I said, it's a win-win situation. An average brewery would spend probably somewhere... Well, I'll use Keegan for an example, probably close to $8,000 a month to have that processed through a DEC facility in their dump. By giving it to a farmer, they save $8,000 a month. The farmer, by receiving the grain, is offsetting a feed bill. So it's a win-win situation. Well, the FDA has passed a new Food Safety Modernization Act, and in that act, they're proposing rules that would require spent grains for animal feed to be dried and prepackaged on site in a manner that does not touch human hands. I don't know why that is. They touch the brewer grains when they're making beer for human consumption. I don't think it'll affect the animals. I can tell you from personal experience, I've been using brewery grains for at least 15 years. No ill effects with my animals. And I think this is just a burdensome law that will do two things. One is probably put a lot of the home or the smaller breweries out of business because the process, this grain, and to dry it and bag it is going to be, they have to set up a system for that, and it's going to be costly. And obviously, they're not going to be able to give that away. They'll probably look to sell it. The farmers that are accepting the wet grains free of charge would now have to offset that with an expensive feed bill. So the family farm that is struggling to keep their head above water, this might just be tying some concrete shoes to their feet and will probably have to either downsize or go out of business. And in my case, I would probably have to downsize. So I've written to Congressman Gibson. I'd like to present something through this committee. I don't know why the federal government sees the need to do this. There doesn't seem to be any reason for it. It's just an added expense on both the breweries that are producing the grains and the farmer who's receiving it, and it creates ill effects on both fronts. And as far as economic development, there are several breweries in Ulster County that probably will narrow itself down to probably one. And there'd be probably some additional farmers going out of business in Ulster County, and not many of them left either.
Is this part of the new farm bill, did you say?
No, it's FDA, Food Safety Modernization Act. Food and Drug Administration.
So I think it also could cause, like,
inflation in the price of beer at these local...
Oh, my God.
Let's get to the heart of the matter. How does
well,
it
beer?
Well, I will tell you from...
I don't even drink.
Why the man, Hector?
From personal, my personal experience is the price of meat that I sell will definitely have to go up if I have to supplement what I get now from a brewery with grains that I have to purchase. So, I guess the price of beer goes up as well as meat and pork and beef and whatever else they're feeding it to.
Microbrews are no longer, and, you know, it's dollars and cents.
Ken, the one question, I was kind of curious, did you know anything, is there any type of, window where the wet grains have to be delivered to the farmers and fed to the cattle in order for it to be safe to give them to administer as food?
It's like any organic matter. The longer it sits, it molds and becomes unuseful. I don't think it's overly unsafe because an animal, not like humans, most animals won't eat what is not good for them.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
On something like this, the way you presented it, Herb, which is certainly very clear, makes a lot of sense to question this, because it just doesn't add up to be a logical thing to do. And I think that that's probably where we should start, is to at least get what the FDA considers to be a good rationale for imposing this in a way that is harmful to the system that's working. In doing it that way, we will do our due diligence and say we explore the logic of what you're trying to do and why. And then after hearing their response, assuming it's not satisfactory, then it makes a lot of sense to pursue it accordingly, which seems reasonable.
I can give you my personal opinion. I know a farmer in Orange County. His name was Peter DeJohns, who operated a 375 milk operation herd, plus replacement heifers, on less than 37 acres of land. And it was all done inside because he was able to obtain brewery grains from Anheuser-Busch down in Newark Airport, right outside the airport, the brewery that you see there. As well as he would get apple pomace, which is what's left after you squeeze apples for cider or whatever, apple juice. And there came a point in time where the brewery grains were no longer available because Anheuser-Busch put in a drying and packaging plant and started to sell it as feed. Mr. DeJohn is no longer in business. By him losing that edge with low cost, I mean, it wasn't at no cost. He had a fleet of 13 tractor trailers that ran 7 days a week, pulling brewery grains out of Newark, New Jersey.
So is this being done to advantage Anheuser-Busch and other similar companies so they can create income for products that couldn't be more?
Well, it certainly looks like it's a double advantage for Anheuser-Busch. They drive the local small craft brewers out of business, so they sell more product. They are already set up with a drying and packaging operation, so they'll just continue to sell their product for feed.
It certainly makes sense in the way some things operate. I still think there's value in giving the FDA a chance to at least explain the model, which I don't anticipate being fully satisfactory, but nonetheless, I think they should get the opportunity.
Well, at very least, I'd like to see a resolution to our federal components, asking them
why. Yes, totally agree.
And that was going to be my comment, taking as a chair from President. That was really kind of my comment, which is basically, how do we, what are you looking for, basically, So at this point, a resolution, more or less a resolution on this committee, and a legislation with regards to this issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You want a resolution, or you want a letter through... to Congressman Gibson and saying, what the heck's going on?
I both. I would think both is a good idea because the nice thing about a resolution, it shows that Ulster County is serious about keeping our local businesses here as well as keeping our local farmers whole.
Okay.
Well, the FDA did offer a comment period, and the comment period ended yesterday.
So maybe we should do a little better, but go to a meeting and run out the way next month for resolution.
I would assume that there'd be some period after the comment period to consider the comments before they enact it. Now, we are dealing with the federal government, so I can't take anything for granted.
Is there a contact number there or anything that we can get
a letter to send like you right. Tomorrow?
I sent him an email as soon as I got this. I got this yesterday.
Sure. All right, we'll look at that. And I'll either hurry up for maybe if there's a number we can call. I'll get a ring down here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Thank you.
We're looking at it. That's important stuff. Hector, you guys?
I did. So, in the wake of situation New Falls sort of, slowly resolving itself because we're not by a hundred, but we just commend that investment on that.
The overall issues and the city, can I just follow up on the whole front?
Okay.
Hector.
You know, one of the things that has come up, of course, is just, you know, the IDA, this legislation relationship with the IDA, appointments that need to be made to the IDA, and in addition, the creation of this this category for dormitories, as well as the fact that it has a separate schedule, and the fact that we, as a legislative body, did not really have much interaction with the IDA with regards to that.
Okay.
And again, I'm going to ask, no, and point is that I think at this point we do need to, I think in our next caucus, I can have a conversation about the majority of appointments to the IDA, and I think that from a policy perspective, I think we should be having a conversation about whether or not having this dormitory category is really what we envision for Ulster County. Now, before anybody says anything, yes, the IDA is a separate entity. However, we've had a close relationship with them in the past. We've worked with the IDA in the past with regard to the formulation of policy, and so I think it is definitely appropriate to at least just raise the issue now that we're sort of in a less pressure environment, shall we say.
I didn't feel like pressure before, actually.
What?
Can I ask Hector a question?
Sure.
To go back to the very beginning of your presentation.
Comments,
sorry.
That's okay. Presentation would be the whole.
We pulled down the screen.
Yeah.
So did the town and them work it out? Is that what you're saying?
No, the planning board, again, kind of, at this point, the planning board, I believe, in memory service, they step up there.
The planning board has said, my understanding that if they get the pilot, they won't approve it. If they don't get the pilot, they will approve it. So
you're just staying out of it?
There's a Mercedes dealer right now in New Jersey stocking about 30 new cars for the lawsuit that's going to happen.
I'm sure they're a big company.
We'll write it. As far as I'm concerned, we'll write it in the minutes. We'll highlight it as chairman of the legislature.
Okay.
I think we hold my comments. What else do you have?
Well, part of it was to actually have a discussion about this, but apparently you don't want to have a discussion about this.
I don't really want to have a discussion about it, honestly, because I, you know, bring it up with the chairman. Not me chairman, the chairman. You know, we're right in the middle of all this stuff going on with New Falls, and personally I think, you know, changing midstream is crazy. You know, I know where that ball game can go, and I don't know if it helps anybody or doesn't,
or if it just prolongs everything. So, for me, you know, I'll leave a note, I'll call the chairman tomorrow, I'll voice the concerns, and I'd let the chairman meet with it. What do you want to do after you get
started? Right now, I want you to recognize him.
Okay.
I'd like to just clarify a little bit on what's being discussed here at the start. The planning board in New Falls has not taken any action yet.
Okay, We've tabled that here. We don't need to have that discussion as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm not getting into details of it. What I'm getting into is the issue will be resolved at the town level on April 7th. After that point, when that action is taken, the IDA cannot issue or, let's say, approve the application for mowing rights because they will not have a SECRE approval, which, you know, then they can't take action. So that ends the process, and New Falls and Wilmerite and everything is off the table unless the fourth comes back at some point and forms a different judgment. So that issue is to decide, or will be shortly to decide, and there's another issue to be discussed with that to decide. And that issue is that when this committee was created in January, it is each year, there are certain things that are mentioned in the resolution that for each different committees and gives you responsibilities. Within that, resolution number 3 gave a directive to this committee to oversee the policies and actions of the IDA. There's been discussion at this committee before that we have no role, that the only role is to appoint members to the IDA board, period. That seems to be in contradiction with the resolution that created this committee. And so, as I sent in an email to the committee prior, I think that warrants a discussion as to whether or not that directive is going to be fulfilled, or whether or not this committee wants to seek a change in what the mission is for it.
Any other discussion? Any other new business or old?
No.
Motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Okay. We're on to discussion.
I ask for discussion.